Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. I want to say hello today. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We come this way every Tuesday morning at this same time, live on WATA at 10 a.m., and so we're glad to be here. This is, what is it, about a month now in our new time slot, Noah, something like that?
Right around there.
Yeah, so we're glad to be here. Noah's in the studio today with us, and we appreciate him and the work that he does to help on the radio, not just this radio broadcast, but also our other radio broadcast as well. Are you having a good day?
I am, and I'm glad to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And I have an announcement. I started making this maybe last week or maybe even the week before that, but the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute, if you are interested in furthering your Bible education, this is a three-year program where you can get your bachelor's degree, and you can go, and the school is located in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, so you can go. I go on Thursdays and teach on Thursday nights. You can also take the classes by correspondence over the internet. There are some satellite schools, different places. If you are interested in doing that, the fall semester starts on August 11th. That's for those that attend on the campus. And then it begins August 18th for all others. And you can find out more about that by going to their website, vbcministries.org. And that stands for Victory Baptist Church Ministries, vbcministries.org. And so that is coming up very quickly. Seems like time is flying. And I don't know, it just always seems like that. But this summer is getting gone, I tell you. I cannot remember a summer that has gone by as quickly, it seems like, as this one has. But anyway, we're here today, and we're thankful for that. We have been looking at a subject, or really a book, a pamphlet, entitled Common Sense by Thomas Paine. It was published in January of 1776. And how I got to looking at this or wanting to talk about it or bring out some of the points, I just I'm continually reading and looking at different things, and I just picked up the book off my bookshelf. I've read it before and talked about it before, I'm sure, but I just began to read it one more time. I thought, you know, that'd just be a good little read. And as I was reading through the book, I kept coming across things, you know, I think, boy, that's good, you know, that sentence there, that paragraph, that's good. And sort of what I've been doing is the passages that I would underline out of a book. And I kept thinking to myself as I was reading, you know, that still applies today. These truths, these principles, these statements. I kept thinking about as I looked at the book and read through it how that it seems like as a nation we've almost come full circle. We've almost come back to where we started from. And what I mean by that, you know, in 1776, they wanted some of them, not all of them, but some people, they wanted to declare their independence from Britain. They were tired of having a king, the monarchy, thousands of miles away. King George, they referred to him as a tyrant and oppressive, overbearing, all of these things. It was hard for him to rule from afar. We don't have that anymore. We don't have a King George. We're not under the rule of Britain. But what we have allowed happen in our country is we've become a tyrant to ourselves. You see, the government is a government of we the people. And we the people have let the government grow and get to the point where it is taken away some of the freedoms that are spelled out in the Bill of Rights, such as privacy, Other freedoms are continually being under attack. And so we've allowed this to happen. We've become a tyranny unto ourselves. We do not have a monarchy. I've talked about this before. We have an oligarchy. An oligarchy is a rule by an elite class, by a few. We have that in America. We do not have a royal family to keep up like they do in Britain. We have the Democrats and the Republicans. And it's no longer what is good for the country. We are divided to what is good for the party, what is good for the Democrats, what is good for the Republicans. How do we make sure one group stays in or the other group gets voted back in? You know, and it's a continual thing that is going on in our country, and it has to be supported and it has to be kept up. And so our leaders, many times, instead of focusing on leading, they are continually focusing on getting reelected and keeping the money coming into their party and keeping their people in power and all of these things. Now, Thomas Paine, in the book Common Sense, is making the case for independence, that the time has come that the colonies would declare their independence from England, that it was not working any longer, that in the colonies in an infant state, that was all right, but America had grown, America was capable of defending herself. And so he just lays out the case, point after point after point, why that was the time to declare their independence from Britain. And one of his arguments concerned the subject of unity. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the subject of unity, the subject of common sense in unity. Unity is a great, great thing. It is very, very necessary. Here's what Thomas Paine said about unity. He said, "It is not in numbers, but in unity that our great strength lies." Now, he was talking about the 13 colonies and all the different people that had come from Europe and all the different in America. You had all the different nationalities. Even at that time, you had Germans, you had French, you had English, you had Scottish, you had Irish, you had Welsh. You had all these different people that had come from Europe and that had immigrated to America. And yet Thomas Paine makes the case that, you know, in spite of all that, they were not a divided nation, but they were united. And he said, "It is not in numbers, but in unity that our great strength lies." And they realized something, and it is still the same today, that unity is very, very important. It is important in a family that people have unity. It is very important in a church that people are in unity together, that they are as one. And it is very, very important in a nation. Now, unity, when we talk about unity, what it means concord, to be in concord. That means to be in agreement, to be in conjunction of mind together, to be of one mind, to be of one heart, to have the same will, affections, of interest. All those things are what unity means. And there is a verse in the Bible, and I bring this up quite often in church because I realize as a pastor, and you might look at a church as being a small nation that is working together to get something done. And so a church has to have unity. And the Bible says in Psalms 133 and verse number 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, there's some things about that verse that it teaches us about unity. That number one, it is good as opposed to bad. Behold how good. It's a good thing. Boy, it's a good thing when people can get along. Let me give you an example like this. Have you ever had a job that you went to work and the people that you worked with, you just got along the best? I mean, it was like going to work with your best friends. and you just loved the people that you worked with, and everybody got along so good together, and they tried to help each other, and they worked together, and everybody did their fair share and did what they were supposed to do. And going to work, going to your job, it was a joy. Why? Because there was unity. But on the other hand, you may have had a job where you had a group of people and some of them didn't get along. And boy, they couldn't work together, and they're backbiting and they're slacking off, and one person is trying to make the other person look bad or something like that, gossiping about each other, not pulling their weight, not doing their job. Somebody else has to come along and pick up the slack. That's awful. That makes your job more like a prison sentence. You say, oh, I just dread going to work today. I just can't handle the drama. You see the difference. I've had jobs in the past, same job. What made the difference, whether I liked it or whether I didn't, was the people that I worked with, and when we could be in unity together. It is good when it's like that. Behold how good and how pleasant. You know how something is when it's pleasant. When something is pleasant, it is pleasing, such as a concert, music, a song. But you get somebody that's just banging around on a piano or plucking around on a instrument and they don't know how to play it and they're just making noise, oh my goodness, it'll drive you crazy. It's not pleasant. It's a hard thing to endure. And so when the Bible talks about unity, unity is good. Unity is pleasant. It is pleasing. It is good to be around. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Now, in this country we live in, we've got to dwell together. We live together. We work together. We go to school together. We go to town together. We need to have unity in our country. People go to church together. All these things that we do together, and it's good and it's pleasant to dwell together in what? In unity. And so we're thinking about unity today. Unity is a must. Unity is absolutely necessary. Now, I know there are many today that would argue and they would say America has always been divided and always been segregated and there's always been strife and injustice. And there's no doubt in my mind that we've had our share of these things down through the years. America has had her problems. America is not a perfect nation. But we could also make the case today that in spite of all of our differences, and in spite of all of our problems, we as a nation have got along far better than most other nations as far as being in unity together and having a common goal. And once upon a time in America, and I've heard people that are older than me talk about this, talk about the condition of politics in America and how it is right now. And I've heard people say that used to be that they would have elections. And one would say, you know, well, we're going to vote for this guy and we're voting for this guy. And they've always been, contentious. They've always been, you know, one side is trying to get, they're both trying to win. And so there's always been that competition part of it. But when the election was over and done with, Americans could pretty much come together and say, you know what, I didn't vote for him, but that's my president, and so I'm going to support him, and we're going to get under the flag, and we're going to go forward for our country. And that seemed to be the attitude many years ago, that we could come together as Americans, and we had a great country, and it was worth fighting for, and we needed to come together. Unity was important, and we had a common goal among ourselves. And there's been many, many times in our country, in our history, that we have had national emergencies and we've come together and pulled together, and the American Revolution could be one. I mean, it's a miraculous thing when you think about that the colonies, the baby army of George Washington, and basically no navy whatsoever, that they were able to defeat the largest naval force, the largest, most powerful nation upon the face of the earth, and Britain. And not only did they defeat him once, in the 1700s, but also in the War of 1812, which actually lasted over several years. So they didn't beat them once, they beat them twice in two wars. And Americans came together and on one common goal and one purpose and love of country and patriotism and all of these things. And they were unified after the Civil War. Now, the Civil War, over 600,000 people died in the Civil War. Brothers fought against brothers, families against families. But after it was over, there was a time of healing. There was actually a revival, the Second Great Awakening. And I believe that played a great part in healing and bringing our nation back together. And so the nation came back together. And there was a time of healing there. There's been times. The two world wars, our nation came together, worked together, got along. After 9/11, there was a coming together for a little while. So just to name a few times in the past that our country has come together and been unified. And there's been other times other than that. In fact, America, when we talk about the colonies, became known as the United States. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes America is just referred to as the Union. For example, every January, I believe it is, the president, and this is laid out in the Constitution, that every year the president will give a State of the Union address. What is he doing? He's talking about our country. America is sometimes just referred to as the Union. So unity in the past has been stressed as being very, very important. Now, I want to just bring out right now a biblical principle, and I'm not going to go into, I don't have time to deal with this in great detail, but we could give many examples from the Bible, but I'll just put it like this. The Lord unites, Satan divides. The Lord unifies, and the Lord desires unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Satan, the devil, is a divider. He divides things. He divides families. He divides nations. He causes problems between people, whether it's two people or 200 people or whatever. Satan is a divider. Now, the Lord Jesus referred to it first. And during the time of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln quoted many times from the Bible. And one of the phrases, one of the principles that he talked about is what the Bible talks about, a house divided. And he talked about a house divided cannot stand. If you look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, Luke chapter 11, verse 17, Mark chapter 3, verse 25, here's what the Lord Jesus said, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And so if we are divided, if a house is divided, if a company is divided, a nation is divided, it cannot stand, it will fall. The Lord unites, Satan divides. Today, look at our country today. Are we not divided? We are so divided. I said this in a message a while back at church. I was preaching, and I was talking about how in our country we were divided. People will fight over which shoe to put on first. I mean, we can't get along in our country, it seems, for anything, over anything, can't agree over anything. Morally, we're divided. Spiritually, politically, financially, racially, we're divided. We are divided across all the important landmarks, I guess you could say, that we could think about, we're divided on, and we cannot get along. We cannot come together. Americans are divided over everything, it seems. Americans are, they get offended over everything. You better be careful if you're just kidding about something. Somebody will take it wrong, and they will, get offended. They'll get mad over things. We've lost our sense of unity in America. Now, we could ask ourselves, why? Why have we lost our sense of unity, where once upon a time we could come together as a nation, and it seems like now we can't come together over anything? I mean, you can't even make a purchase without making a political statement. I really don't like that. I what I'm talking about, some of these businesses, you know, some are, I'll put it like this. Well, if you go to Target, you know, you're agreeing with certain things. If you go to Hobby Lobby, you're a Christian. If you eat at Chick-fil-A, that's for Christians. If you drink Coca-Cola, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everything is labeled as being one thing or another, and we cannot come together on anything. Why is it like that? Why are we so divided? Why all this racial tension now, after years and years of civil rights and what people would say as progress? Why does it seem like we're back in the 60s all of a sudden? Why does it seem like that we've gone back farther than that? Let me give an example. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the Pledge of Allegiance. And the Pledge of Allegiance says this. And growing up in school, we'd all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance together. We'd salute to the flag. We'd stand beside our desk, put our hand on our heart, and we'd say, every day I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But we are not in unity in our country. And I believe this is the problem that we have. We have removed the two words, under God. When it says in the Pledge of Allegiance, under God, it's not just saying we're a religious nation. It's not just saying, you know, that we acknowledge God. But when it says under God, sort of like on our money, when it says in God we trust, when it says one nation under God, once upon a time, there was no question what God that was talking about. That's talking about the God of the Bible. And being under God is also being under His commandments, being under His law, being under His precepts, being under His protection, being under His blessing. And so once upon a time, our nation could come together and say that all across the nation, one nation under God. But if you take out, if you remove God from national life, and that is where we are in America today. There is a war against God in public life, against reference to God in national life. They don't want any reference to God many times in school. We've taken the Ten Commandments away from the courthouse. You see, we've taken the law away from the law house. We've tried to, I say we, there's those in our country that have been successful in taking God out of the national eye, out of public life. And when you remove God, the United States become divided states. When you remove God, our republic. Now, when it says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, when you remove God, you remove the republic, because a republican form of government is a government that is ruled by law. And I talked about that last week just a little bit. If we're not ruled by law, what do we get? We get anarchy is what we get. But a republic is a nation that is ruled by law. This is the law, and it applies to everybody. But when you remove that, then what you get something else. Well, what other forms of government are there? There's democracy. Our founders, they all knew that all democracies, they self-implode. They all destroy themselves. Democracies do not last. It's very interesting. Some of our politicians, when they're talking about our country, they talk about our democracy. And then there are others, they get up and they talk about our republic. There is a huge difference between the two. Democracies always fail. Democracy is like you find in the Bible in Revelation chapter number 3, when it talks about the church at Laodicea, and they did what they wanted to do. They were pure in their own eyes, and they had no need of the Lord. And that's what a democracy is. A democracy, everybody, it's mob rule. and it always comes to a bad end. Well, if you don't have democracy, what do you have? You have socialism, you have communism, you have something else. And so we remove God, we get something else. Nothing is as good as a republic. And so we're in a day and time in America today where we're like in the Bible, in the book of Judges, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And so we're very divided and we're losing our republic. If we remove God, our one nation indivisible. Indivisible means not divided, not able to be divided. But you remove God and what do you have? It becomes divided. It becomes splintered. It becomes split in all these different factions and all these different groups, and nobody can get along. Why can nobody get along? We don't have a standard. We don't have a God that we look to and that we are under. And so we're very divided in our nation. We're divided all across the board. Our liberty, it talks about in the Pledge of Allegiance. It talks about one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty. If we remove God, we remove our liberty. Liberty comes from God. Liberty was God's idea. You see how detrimental it is if we remove God from public life. It is God that first mentioned liberty in the Bible, Leviticus 25:10. And I say this every time when we come on the air, and it's inscribed upon the Liberty Bell. It says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And Israel did not have a king, but they were to follow the Lord. And as they followed the Lord, they could have liberty. That was the message of the day. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land. But you take away liberty, well, what do you get? You get tyranny. And so tyranny is in the Bible. All the tyrants of the Bible are anti-God. You study this all the way through. You go from Nimrod, you go from Nebuchadnezzar, you go to the Herods, you go to the Antichrist, all the way through. All the tyrants in the Bible are Antichrist. You take away liberty, you have tyranny in its place. And justice for all. Now, we would all say, boy, I'm for justice for all. But we live in a day and a time, we know that justice actually is very selective. It might be, if you're running to be the president of the United States, that justice and law wouldn't apply to you. That somebody else, if they gave away state secrets like Hillary Clinton did and discussed all these things in emails and all that, why, you and I would be in jail and we'd never see the light of day. But if you're Hillary Clinton, if you're part of the oligarchy, if you're part of the elite ruling class, you go scot-free. And nothing happens to you because of that. What happened to justice for all? Oh, that just applies to, the little folk. These people in high places, they can get away without paying their taxes. They can get away with committing treason. They can get away with murder. They can get away with all of these things. Where's the justice for all? And so there's many things we could talk about. I would agree with Thomas Paine that there is great strength in unity. And what that also infers is, if you think about it, there's great weakness in being divided. Our nation today is very, very vulnerable. We're vulnerable to attack. We're vulnerable to being pulled all to pieces from outside forces. Well, we need the Lord. That's our hope. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. We appreciate you listening and hope you have a great day.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Or you can reach us through our church phone number. It is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596.